the CU 2.0 podcast.
Suddenly, credit unions across the nation are ordering employees home as part of the response to the coronavirus pandemic. That's triggering a tidal wave of worries about the possible cyber insecurities that will result as newly empowered employees log into their credit union networks. Hitherto, at many credit unions, probably most, the workers who had home access to the network were mainly senior, experienced, and both well-trained and well-equipped. Today's newly drafted home workers often lack the right equipment, and their training may have been brisk. Global cyber criminals are said to be eyeing these workers the way a hungry lioness eyes a slow wildebeest in the Serengeti. Welcome to the CU 2.0 podcast. This is your host, Robert McGarvey. Today's guest, Kevin Langford, Chief Information Officer at the $140 million Georgetown Craft Credit Union in South Carolina. Langford has trained many workers in the secret of safe cyber work at home, and here he tells what every credit union needs to be doing. This topic is huge. It's so big that next week we will post another podcast on the same theme, an interview with Shane Butcher, Senior Solutions and Security Architect at CUSO Ongoing Operations. You need to listen to both. This is no time to be making mistakes. Information is the cure. The risks are extraordinary today. Here are solid suggestions for navigating turbulence securely. Listen up. So what do employers need to do, and what do employees need to do? What concerns me, what concerns many people, is we now have this tidal wave of employees told, go home, work. And sure, you can access the network. Interesting.
The number one thing is you have to have the infrastructure in place. So you got to make sure they have hardware. Do they have computers at their house? Do they have the internet coming into their house? Do they have a place where they can work where, you know, they're not going to be disturbed? You need the procedures in place. I think you can always do something like you can try a test case. I mean, it's hard to do it like starting now, like say, hey, let's put this in place. If it's not something you did in the past, it's kind of hard to pick up and start it. But if you have stuff in place, like a VPN, a private network, you know, some of the firewalls that you have already would provide those things. They would provide VPN access, usually for a fee for like a licensing, you know, like let's license this user. We personally don't use anything special outside of the VPN. We use the integrated stuff that is already in like Galaxy, like in Microsoft, like remote desktop. If you can connect VPN, you can communicate with the server, then you can use remote desktop to, you can RDPN is what we call it, you know. There's companies out there that provide stuff to do. They have their, you know, they provide virtual desktops and processes like that.
So
they provide a single sign-on, like when you log onto your computer and you get on your network, it automatically connects to the VPN, you know, stuff like that.
Right. And there are plenty of VPN services available for individual users, usually with a fee of $10 or so a month. It's not an outrageous amount of money.
Well, the best ones are probably the ones that you would get, like the licenses you would get from your firewall provider.
I'm concerned about the home computers that employees are using.
That's why we mostly use the, when we talk about home computers, that's why we mostly use the remote deposit, the remote desktop, because you have a VPN and you log into remote desktop, which is already on the network with your virus protection, with your anti-spyware, with your other items that are there.
Now, is a lot of this built into Windows 10, or are these add-on pieces?
Well, that would not be, no. Like, it depends on which virus protection. You would not be built into Windows 10. No, you would need to have that installed. Like, we use BlueVoyant to provide filtering for virus protection, malware protection, those type of things.
So you've probably seen reports, I've seen reports on the security failings of a huge percentage of home routers. Mm-hmm. And then there's the problems with home computers where people often have have not updated the operating system. They have not updated the antivirus. If they have a teenager, the teenager's probably downloaded all kinds of pirated material, some of which is really bad in terms of viruses and whatnot, malware.
Well, that's why it's better for you to provide the computer, so that you can say, no one can be on this but you. You can run. There are some of the softwares that will back up those computers on a daily basis. That's back up the desktop on a daily basis and then restore it to that desktop the very next day. So, I mean, you should be saving stuff on a shared drive. You should be saving it in a file storage area. You shouldn't be saving it on your desktops, because we're going to wipe your desktop tomorrow and it's going to come back to exactly where it was.
Now, how much of this burden is on the individual employee? And I ask because many of them have trouble following these kinds of instructions.
It is. I mean, it's a trust between the employer and the employee. The employee is going to do what they're supposed to do, that they're going to be available when they need to be available, that they're going to put themselves in a environment where they can work and communicate and concentrate. They're going to follow the rules that you put in place. If you set procedures that, you know, you need to be at your desk doing this, that they're at their desk doing that. And if you put procedures in place that they need to not visit these sites, I mean, if they go through the VPN, you can use your filtering to filter out these sites. But again, you know, when they're off the VPN, what's getting on the computer type of things. So you have to trust that, you know, you have to have that trust that they're going to follow the procedures, and you can put stuff in place. Like I said, you know, you're wiping the computers every night, or not wiping them, but, you know, re-imaging that desktop every single night. Now that would be something that is a little more expensive to do. So it'd be for the bigger stuff, but if you're giving them the tools to use the, virtual desktops, then there's like a zero trust infrastructure. Basically, it just provides the cloud while maintaining security control type of stuff. So that's some companies do that as well.
What I like is zero trust stuff, and also I like things that put zero burden on the employee, mainly because the employees aren't computer people, and you're asking, well, think like a computer guy. No, you don't make that transition so fast. That's like me saying, you think in Chinese, would you, man? You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's if you say that to me, I can't think in Chinese. So
yeah, that comes with training employees as well. You know, like, you know, they don't think like them, so you need to tell. Like, when we first started our training program, it was silly, because I'd be like, okay, well, I'm gonna tell them, don't stick a zip drive that they found on the ground on your computer, and like, I had to tell them that. Like, that seems like that's something that you would just not do. But no, we had to tell people, don't do that.
There's actually a famous test, and this goes back maybe 5 or 7 years ago, where a researcher in Washington, D.C. left something like 100 zip drives in coffee shops, and then counted up, and there was no malware on these, then counted up the number that were actually inserted into computers. In Washington, D.C., where theoretically the workforce is smarter about cyber and stuff, and something like 70% were put in use. I mean, this is just stunning. And this is a smart, educated, skeptical workforce. And wow. And I imagine many of the people said, hey, I got to find out whose zip drive this is so I can give it back to them. This is even better. So.
Absolutely. That's what comes out of training. So even if you have the zero trust environment, you still have got to teach your employees.
And I imagine you have to keep teaching them. You have to have refresher
courses.
Oh,
yeah. It's not something that you do one time and you're done.
Because if I'm a criminal and I've hear, all these credit unions are having employees work from home, I say, my heavens, this is bonanza. I mean, this is like the slow-moving creatures out there. Wonderful. How do I go pick them off? And they're really a tempting target because they mean well. They just don't, they're not born with, or they haven't been trained to have the perpetual skepticism and paranoia.
It's not even that. It's like, you know, common sense things, you know, like they might not even think like, oh, hey, this is common sense of something. Like, why would anyone ever do that? Well, I need to find this out. Like, why would you want to find that out? I mean, at one point we had someone who kept opening emails that looked like they were coming from UPS, you know, and it's like, why do you keep opening this if you don't have a package coming from UPS, those type of things.
And if it's the one I'm thinking, that was a known scam that UPS sent many warnings out. Because I remember I got one of those emails and I said, I don't think I have anything coming. And I did a search for something like UPS malware and it came up in 15 seconds. So I deleted the email.
It's just not something people are going to, you know, it's just you see it as common sense. And but some people just don't, you know, think that way.
Oh, they say, hey, this is cool. I'm getting an unexpected package. I hope there's nice stuff in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost human nature, really. It's oh, wow.
Oh, you were right, yeah.
You know, it's Christmas in March. Cool.
Same thing with physical security. You know, it's human nature to try, I mean, in the credit union sense, to be nice, to, you know, try to help people who are trying to, you know, use your, get into the building, you know, type of thing. Oh, you're here to see so-and-so? Here, let me let you in. It's human nature stuff. It's going to be the same way if you're working from home. You're going to have to train them out of their human nature, basically.
Actually, yeah, I remember I talked some years ago at a security conference with a guy whose business was security testing credit unions, small and community banks. And one of the things he used was he sent people out wearing what looked like a photocopying machine repairman's uniform, which you can get at like Goodwill, man, you know, Salvation Army, with a clipboard and, you know, a whole kit that looked like. And knock on the door. Sure, come on here. The machine's here. Machine's here. Take a look at it.
Yeah.
And he said almost no one ever said, who called you? You know, why are you coming? Why, you know, pretty much that never happened. It's, oh, nice of you to show up to fix the machine.
No, if it looks like you belong there, they're going to let you in.
So do you have any concerns that credit unions can get through this period of equipping new employees for remote access?
I absolutely do have concerns with credit unions that do not train and just want to, like, you know, like you said, when you first talked to me, like, oh, I like that zero trust thing. Yes. I worry that they get that zero trust. I'm like, oh, well, we're covered. We have this, you know, it's like, you still have to, you know, train employees. You still have to have a person working at home who is going to follow the procedures you've put in place. Even if, you know, you don't have to worry about, let's say you don't have to worry about the computer systems, you know. Well, what happens when they print something out, leave it at home so that their husbands or wife sees it? You know, it's still things like that. You know, you can't stop them from doing those. What if they leave it up on the screen and, you know, a neighbor comes over and sees it? It's like you still have to have the trust in the people that, in the training and the people that are, you know, you're sending home. Like, yes, I know you're home, but, you know, we still have these rules in place for a reason. So I'm worried that they're going to get these systems and send these employees home, and then there's going to be no follow-up. There's going to be no, you know, follow-up training. They're going to be like, okay, well, we gave them, you know, the IT stuff. And, you know, IT is only as strong as the weakest link, I always tell them. You know, like, if someone is trying to run a scam, it's only going to be as strong as the employee who does the least amount of verification.
Well, employees often, with good intentions, ignore the rules. I remember a very large health insurance company announced that a laptop had been stolen from an employee's car, and whoops, it had like literally like a million records on it. And first thing reporters asked was, well, are they allowed to just store those records on laptops? No, but this employee apparently did it for convenience reasons. It's like, huh. And I'm not faulting the employee. There's some training gap there where you just can't do this. You just can't do it, man. What does the training consist of? You know, what do you see? If you can wave your wand and start offering the training that you see is necessary, what would it look like?
Okay, well, the number one thing I would do is I would train them to teach that it's almost exactly like home. I mean, like at work, sorry. When you're at home, it's almost as if you were at work. You have to remember that we still have these procedures in place for a reason. You got to treat it like you're sitting in your office at work. That would be the first thing that I would talk to them about. Second, I would train them on the equipment itself, the safety procedures that are in place on the computer I'm giving you. I would train them on not allowing, you know, like, yes, even if you don't have a computer at home, not allowing your children to get on it. And then I would talk about common sense things that we already have in place at work that maybe we should think about at home as well. You know, don't talk about members' information. Even if it's if you're in the same room with somebody, you bring it up. If you're going to be on a call with a member, make sure that you're in the room by yourself and not, you know, trying to take care of a kid at the same time. Treat it like you are going to work. So if you can get child care, like you're not working at home to avoid, you know, paying for child care. You're at home to, you know, avoid being in the office. Those type of things. Just a refresher on the procedures of work that, you know, everyone knows already, but may forget when it's time to start working from the house.
Now, isn't a kind of safety net built into the network of a lot of credit unions, probably including yours, where if I log in, I can't immediately go to a Costa Rican gambling site. It's not going to let me do it in many cases. It's not going to let me go to America.
You do have that at work.
It's not going to let me
go. There are VPNs that will do the same thing. We'll pull that same, like once they log into the system to get into it, it will stop doing that.
Oh, okay. So
some of them don't protect when they're off the network. So that's why you still need the common sense.
And a lot of times employees have told me they don't use the VPN because it's, quote, too slow.
Yeah, but then that's when you have to mandate, you know, like, I don't care. Like, I would tell, if someone came to me that, I would say, when someone comes into the teller line and they ask for money, it's quicker to just hand them money. But we verify who they are, don't we? We verify they have the money. We go through those steps.
Right, and you've theoretically should ask for an ID, et cetera, if that's the procedure. Even if you know, even if it's your mother, you should ask for the ID. You really should.
Right.
it seems crazy.
So I understand
but
that it's slower, but we're doing it for a reason. If you wanna get into work from home, you're gonna have to follow the rules.
Do some organizations have a policy where if they detect that you have X lapses that they don't let you work from home anymore? They probably should. I mean, that should be.
Yes, they do. Some of the bigger companies definitely have those who can, like, have better monitoring. Like, my system, I don't have that good of monitoring to know. Again, they can't get onto, like, without the VPN, they can't do anything from a member's account. They can't log on to they can get on the internet and they can, like, go to their stuff, but they cannot get onto a member's account.
So with your system, without a VPN, can I get into the network, the credit union network?
No, if you're not on the VPN, you cannot get in the network.
Okay. So that's your big screen right there.
You're not doing any type of work for us. Like, we store everything on a shared drive, not on the laptops. We store all the member stuff behind the VPN. So if you don't even have, we don't have that many licenses. So at some point, if someone else is on, you can't even get on. You know what I mean?
Oh, interesting. Now, can the employee download stuff from the shared drive onto their home computer?
Not without the VPN, no.
Can they do it?
Like, if they download and take it to the computer, like, app and be up the VPN, yeah, they can do that.
So they can look at some files on the shared drive and download them to the computer?
Well, they can be on the VPN, they can download it to the computer and then get off the VPN, yes, but...
Well, that really, that does raise the problem of what happens if the computer is stolen or lost.
Right, you're right, it does. Like, I mean, they would have the information just stuff they downloaded. They wouldn't be on the network. They would just,
We
haven't come up with stuff for that. I mean, we probably should. Most part, the people who have the computers, it's not everyone in this place, too, who have the computers already are the tech ones, the ones that, you know, are expected to know this stuff.
Right. No, I hear you there. It's, you know, we're facing a whole new world here where we're putting a whole lot of new people into remote work. And people who probably don't even necessarily want to work remotely, but they're being told to work remotely. And
one of the things that we're doing right now, we're sitting in meetings, is like, what kind of stuff can people do from home? You know, like, we definitely can't hand, you know, money out from home, but we can handle collection calls from the house. We can handle answering, you know, phone calls from the house. We can't log on to the Fed from the house, because those are Fed. You know, there's Fed rules on those type of things. We can handle return checks. We can handle phone calls about, you know, like, our automatic response units. We can handle remote deposit capture reviews from the house. We can handle answering NetBranch questions from the house. I mean, we're sitting in meetings right now where we're discussing what else can be done from the house, or what can we do from not the branch, like handle in the lobby. Like, here, come through. We'll handle this in the handle it through the drive-through. Those type of things we're doing right now. Drive-through. Why can't we handle it from the house? Those type of things.
A lot of what you're talking about, though, does require some network access. So just a collection call. Yeah, I call you up and I say, hey, you know, why you're behind on the $1,200 you owe us, blah blah blah, and you say, no, I sent in a check last Wednesday, and I don't think
there's much you can do without having access to the information.
Right. So if you tell me I sent it in last Wednesday and I don't have that, you know, I say, okay, fine, sorry to bother you.
Right. Yeah. you would definitely have to have the infrastructure with VPNs or some other way to communicate, you know, into the network. Handle anything. I can't think of anything that you could handle from the house without connection to the network.
Who's your core system provider?
Fiserv.
Has Fiserv provided any sort of toolkit that helps with this stuff?
You know what? I haven't talked to them, but I mean, I'm sure they would if we talked to them. Yeah, we handle the VPN. I'm sure they've handled. They could help with the VPN because I mean, a lot of the in-house people or the online people are handled through a VPN. So I'm sure they could help with that stuff. I've never talked to them. I handle it through the firewall company.
And who's your firewall company?
Well, we use Fortinet.
Interesting.
I mean, in the past, we had the same exact thing with SonicWall. I mean, like they provided VPN support.
Right, right. Well, VPNs are pretty staple in the financial services world.
I like going through the firewall so that I'm not jumping through extra hoops. I'm not, you know, having to open the firewall to this port type of things, you know, because they already, you know, they're going to provide it with what's needed.
You know, some institutions, I think perhaps with bigger budgets, are focusing more on virtual desktops.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are
I don't have the capability. I don't have the employees in place on the IT side. I don't have the employees in place to be able to handle that type of environment.
Before we go, think hard about how you can help support this podcast so we can do more interviews with more thoughtful leaders in the credit union world. What we're trying to figure out here in these podcasts is what's next for credit unions. What can they do to really, really, really make a difference in the financial scene? Can't all be mega banks, can it? It's my hope it won't all be mega banks. It'll always be a place for credit unions. That's what we're discussing here. So figure out how you can help. Get in touch with me. This is rjmcgarvey@gmail.com. Robert McGarvey again. That's rjmcgarvey@gmail.com. Get in touch. We'll figure out a way that you can help. We need your support. We want your support. We thank you for your support.
The CU 2.0 Podcast.